Welcome to Inside Out, the Naked Truth, where we explore everyday issues to discover their core truth so that we may understand them, open our hearts, add a little more fun to our lives, and see it all from another perspective.
Tonight's show is coming to you from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I'm Errol Strider, and together we're going to explore these truths with hopefully some surprises to us and you and some music, and we might throw in a sketch or two. We're certainly going to, if not be characters, we are going to, well, play characters. Anyway, it's good. We got some great songs for this subject too tonight.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Go Raw, 100% natural organic raw food that not only tastes good, but is good for you.
And Go Raw can be found in Whole Foods and Trader Joe's and the organic section of Costco. Go to goraw.com and find a store near you. Find out about Go Raw products. And we're so happy that they are our sponsor. Thank you. It's wonderful to be sponsored when you're doing the Naked Truth by a company that's called Go Raw.
I always think so, too. Tonight, we are going to be discovering what the upside of being wrong is all about. A friend of mine often says, I make mistakes with monotonous regularity. Its blatant truth always makes me laugh. I mean, who among us is always right? Yet, I was brought up to believe in my parents' omnipotence. And if I disagreed with them, I was the one who was wrong. Streets may go in one direction only, but thoughts, observations, opinions are as diverse as the people who express them ever so freely. From my vantage point, I am right. From yours, you are right. If I was on a southbound road going north, I would be wrong. And in a situation that could be life-threatening to myself or others, that's a mistake with a capital M. So there are mistakes that are really wrong. Wrong, wrong. And there are mistakes that are just different vantage points. And then there are the mistakes that are our life teachers. And they are the upside of being wrong. Fire might have started out as a mistake, but it taught us to cook, to see in dark places, to keep warm when it was really cold. I often think of the many things we know that have been passed on through multitude of generations that started as mistakes. How was leavening discovered? How was the use of salt as a preservative discovered? I hear, do it this way, and then I forget how to do it, but my mistake becomes more efficient, or my mistake wakes me up, says pay attention. I am more because of it. The other day I left my jacket home. My home was enveloped in a high temperature. We went somewhere cold. I was cold. I was upset with myself. I made a mistake, left my jacket home. But I was forced to be creative with what was on hand. Yet, I will be more observant when I leave the house. Stop, look, and listen probably came about after someone got hurt. We learn. We make mistakes. We keep learning. We keep making mistakes. We are human.
Aw, Captain Vegetable, it's really not that bad. Listen.
I've a special secret children ought to know. It's about the little mistakes you make as you begin to grow. If you make a mistake, you shouldn't start to cry. Mistakes are not so bad, and here is why. Oh, everyone makes mistakes, so yes, they do. Your sister and your brother and your dad and mother, too. Big people, small people, matter of fact, all people. Everyone makes mistakes, so why can't you?
Oh, guess you're right. Tell me more about this, Big Bird.
If you make a mistake while counting up to 10, well, don't get mad and don't be sad, just start to count again. And if you should only get to 8 or 9, I'm still your friend and I still like you fine.
Great!
Cause everyone makes mistakes, so yes they do.
your sister and your brother and your dad and mother too. Big people, small people, matter of fact, all people. Everyone makes mistakes, so why can't you?
You hear that? Everybody does. Why not me?
If you spill a glass of milk all over the floor, well, your mom and dad still like you just as much as they did before. 'Cause when mother and dad were just as small as you,
as me?
I'll bet that they knocked their milk over too. 'Cause everyone makes mistakes, so yes they do. Your sister and your brother and your dad and mother too. Big people, small people, matter of fact, all people. Everyone makes mistakes, so why can't you? If everyone in the whole wide world makes mistakes, then why can't you?
Big Bird is so wise.
Thank you, Big Bird. In case you don't know what Big Bird is, he's from Sesame Street. I know this probably is obvious to many of us, but may not be to all of you. Sesame Street is a children's television program that's been on TV forever, since the early Renaissance, I think.
I don't think the early Renaissance, but certainly...
Late Renaissance.
Wasn't it the early 60s, maybe? The 60s or middle 60s? I don't know. It's certainly been a long time. And our children grew up with it, that's for sure.
As did we.
No, I didn't grow up with Sesame Street. There wasn't any Sesame Street when I was growing up.
No, I meant as did we with our children.
Oh, yes, we did.
Now, there's an example of a kind of a mistake, you know, an assumption. So we're getting into the subject. Mistakes occur all the time. Like there, we just did one. We enacted a mistake, and we made an assumption. Then we had to do a course correction. Now, we could have, which is... We could
get
have
in the right direction.
Yeah, we could have gotten the right direction, but we had this little misunderstanding. So misunderstandings are kind of mistakes, because the way I set the sentence up, it may have sounded like that I said we grew up with Sesame Street, when in fact I actually did. But I was actually referring to the fact that we grew up with our children growing up with Sesame Street.
You're forgiven.
Can we move on, please?
Let's move on from that. It wasn't really that big a mistake.
Well, all I'm doing by pointing that out is they just happen all the time. I mean,
yes,
it's just a constant thing.
Yes, yes. And you know, I have said this before on this show, but I will say it again because it was a high moment for me when Katarina Witt, who was a 2-3-time gold medal Olympic skater, was at practice one day and she fell down, and the reporter asked her why she fell, and she looked at him and said, "Because I'm human." And I never forgot that, and I realized that, yes, if you're human, you will make mistakes. And they tend to be our teachers, our mistakes. We learn from them. The thing is, if you make mistake, the same mistake over and over and over and over again and don't learn from it...
You get thrown out.
We could dub you an idiot.
I'm sorry. you get, idiot, you're out of here.
No, you're not out of here, but you're an idiot.
I found this book called Being Wrong by Catherine Schultz, and it's such a thorough and fascinating and intense and humorous way of looking at the many facets of right, wrong, mistakes, how it does perception, how it affects you biologically. Like just today, I read this thing. There's this disease. It's like the ultimate being wrong, your perception belying you. There are people... They did this study, and this woman was describing things. He said, "Well, what am I wearing? What do I look like?" The doctor who was interviewing her, "What color hair do I have?" And she answered all these questions. "Oh, you have blonde hair, and you know, wearing khaki pants, and blah, 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 blah." But it turns out that the woman's totally blind. She had been in an accident, and she couldn't see anything. But in her mind, she was convinced that she saw all that.
Really?
Yeah.
And so physically she couldn't see, but in her mind she saw.
Yeah, and it has a name for it, some weird name, medical name. And then he talked about someone else who lost a leg but still acted as he still had the leg. But the point about this is that there is no fundamental basis for knowing anything is right. It's not about knowing, as I'm about to move into this part of the book. It's about believing. We believe these things, then we have this what's right. And in many ways, you know, we're kind of addicted to being right. You know, we love it. We love being right. It feels good to be right.
One thing always gets me feeling blue when my colleagues seem to have no clue. The thing that makes it difficult to accept is that everyone else is so inept. But of everything at all that I hate, of all the things in the world I berate, one thing puts me out at the drop of a dime. I hate being right all the time. I hate it when someone throws me a curve or gets on my last nerve. I can't take these lackeys that get in my way, the incompetence I deal with every day. There's so much that drives me crazy, for heaven's sake, there's only so much stupidity I'm able to take. One thing ticks me off at the drop of a dime. I hate being right all the time. All the mistakes in the world that I see could all be avoided if people would listen to me. Everyone really ought to follow my rules, or they'll keep wandering around like a bunch of bumbling fools. Ignoring my advice should be a crime. I hate being right all the time. One huge thing that I really hate is letting others control my fate. Having to bow to the director's demand is something that I can't stand. But of everything I cannot bear, of all annoying things that get stuck in my hair, one thing hacks me off at the drop of a dime. I hate being right all the time. All the time. All the time. All the time.
Where was that from?
Isn't that funny?
It's very funny.
That was a song by a guy by the name of Samuel Stokes. Where I find these things is amazing, but it really it sets kind of a parameters of what we're looking at. I mean, think about in your own life, listener, and you are listening to Insight Out, the Naked Truth from Lupin Lodge in California, sponsored by Go Raw. But just think about all the times you've made mistakes or been wrong. I was thinking today, the story with your sister and introducing your sister. Remember?
Oh, when I forgot her name?
Yes, that story.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. You know, my sister, I mean, I've known her since she was born, obviously. Walking in the street together and meet a young man that I recently met. I remembered his name and I turned around to introduce my sister and her name left my head. She said, why should she know my name? She's only known me all my life.
Well, that was you. I wondered who that was.
Of course, her name came back to me, but you have these lapses. You go somewhere else, or you just disappear for a moment. You're on another planet, and nothing on this planet makes sense anymore.
I was having a conversation with a colleague here at work, and she was saying, well, we're supposed to do blah, blah, blah. And I said, we are? She says, well, don't you remember the meeting? They said, you know, and then something else came up. Blah, blah, blah. Well, don't you remember? And I look at her like, huh, we're relying on my memory. That's a mistake. But what she doesn't know, and then we can get into what is it. That's a good question, by the way. I like that question. But what she doesn't know is that I'm not an audio learner. I'm a visual learner. And if I saw the same thing written out, I would most likely remember it. Remember.
That's why you can't remember a thing I say.
Well,
don't answer. No matter what you say, it'll be a mistake.
It'll be wrong. Right. You see, sometimes you just start getting backed up. But to me, a mistake is when the universe kind of backs you up and says, well, you figure out which way to go or what to do or how to understand it or blah, blah, blah. And then you pick and it goes wrong.
joker is me. There's always a joker in the pack. There's always a cardboard clown. The poor painted fool falls on his back, and everyone laughs when he's down. There's always a funny man in the game, but he's only funny by mistake. But everyone laughs at him just the same. They don't see his painted heartbreak. They don't care as long as there is a jester, just a fool as foolish as he can be. There's always a joker, that's a rule, but fate deals the hand, and I see the joker is me. The game, but he's only funny by mistake. But everyone laughs at him just the same. They don't see his painted heartbreak. They don't care as long as there is a jester, just a fool as foolish as he can be. There's always a joker, that's a rule, but fate deals the hand, and I see the joker is me. The joker is me. The joker.
And that was Anthony Newley's The Joker from Roar of the Grease Paint, Smell of the Crowd. And that's how I feel a lot of times when I make a mistake, like the fool, the joker. I had the pleasure of singing that song in a production of Roar of the Grease Paint, Smell of the Crowd at a woman's Catholic college in Miami, Florida, Berry College. And it was directed by a woman who became a very dear friend, Sister Marie Carroll. And speaking of mistakes, unfortunately, she had an automobile accident at that time. We had become such good friends that she asked me to take over a communications class that she was teaching for a seminary in St. Vincent de Paul, Florida, which I did. This was teaching young men who were training for the priesthood. Curiously, out of the 22 guys who were in the class, I think only about three ended up being ordained as priests, and we continued our friendship for many years. As a matter of fact, she brought us out to La Crosse, Wisconsin. Her community was having its once every 4 year gathering. The name of this community was the Franciscan Sisters of the Perpetual Adoration, 900 nuns, and I had the unique experience of performing a piece called Jesus Model for our class today in dance pants for these 900 women, an experience I and probably they will never forget.
It's interesting because mistakes, like I mentioned in the opening statement I gave, they're different kinds. Remember that time a friend of ours came over and she was making the whipped cream in my house and she picked up the salt where I had the salt and she put all the salt in the whipped cream instead of the sugar?
Yes.
And now that's a mistake. But you can live with it. You know, you can laugh about it, and it makes for great conversation years later, as it is right now. But as I said, there are the mistakes that could cost somebody's life, life-threatening mistakes, that if you were in a hospital and they gave you the wrong medicine and the medicine killed you, that's a mistake that's paramount. That's a big, fat mistake with a big M.
Yeah, or like if they make a mistake on a nuclear reactor, it's not like, oops!
No, it isn't. So, you know, there are degrees of mistakes. A little clasp will get stuck in something, in a tiny thread. The thread will go into the clasp. Now, if I try to get that thread into that clasp, It would probably take years. I don't think I could do it. I'd have to have magnifying glasses.
So there are artful mistakes. You see, that was an artful mistake. Yes. It's like, wow, I could never have done that.
Right,
what
right.
a great mistake. While you're trying to pull it out.
Right, and trying really careful how to get it undone, so to speak. And I think the worst thing is that we make ourselves wrong for creating a mistake rather than you made a mistake. They're the small mistakes that you learn from that can teach you and can help you grow.
Well, here's an example. Just the other day, I was at a staff meeting, and someone looked at me and said, "You're incompetent." But the thing about it was, he was really angry at me for being incompetent. Or at least that was what was expressed. Mm-hmm. So I was hit with this double thing. When you think of incompetency and being wrong, they really seem to go together.
Yes, if you're incompetent, you're definitely wrong about a whole lot of things.
So from this person's vantage point, I was really off, enough so that it pissed him off, or at least he was able to hang whatever anger he was having onto this particular judgment because he had validation for it, because I probably am, certainly from his point, incompetent.
Yeah, but I think that anger comes from, we have an expectation of how someone's supposed to be, and they're not like that, and we get angry. So if any person wants us to be a certain way, and we don't fulfill that expectation, we get angry. You know,
that's a mistake.
It's a mistake to get angry because it doesn't serve. It doesn't serve anybody.
So then we have a criteria now. All of a sudden, that enters into the equation. We have a criteria for what is the right thing to have done versus the wrong thing. What's the criteria for it being the right thing? Then we're getting at a deeper level because we're starting to ask why we do things. For example, we make certain choices in life. Why is that choice a right choice? Moral choices, practical choices. I've heard this one person say, biggest mistake in his life was he moved to this other city. And he had a child in this other city. Heard him say it several times that he regrets having gone to that city, that it almost like it ruined his life, it sounded like, as he's still bemoaning that experience.
But now, did that city and the experience there ruin his life? Because he played such a big part in that. This was the city and the things were the things.
Well, obviously his life there in that city
right.
is what I'm referring to.
So there's the choice to see something as an error, let's say. But then are you wrong because of that error?
Not just wrong, are you bad? See, bad
right.
gets tossed on it like a right. salad dressing. Like
right.
there's the salad, you're wrong. And then you toss on bad, like it's a vinaigrette, like it's all of them combined. The Italian, the Thousand Island, the vinaigrette, the garlic, all at the same time. Because that would be bad, right? Those combination of flavors. So that would be like putting bad on the moral judgment.
Well, it's an interesting metaphor, but it's so convoluted, it little leaves my head in a spin now. Is that a mistake? Is that an error? Am I wrong? Were you wrong for saying such a thing? Or was I wrong for taking it in such a way that I couldn't understand it? And because I didn't understand it, was I wrong?
That's interesting. Well, I'm thinking about it. Are you listeners thinking about that? I mean, really, what do you think about what you just said? Let's go back and review that.
We're not alone in the universe. So when things happen, the way we perceive them, the way we react to them, the way we act with them, all play a part in it. So if something happens and I look at it and go, whoa, that was an mistake, you know, like the egg falling off something. But as it's falling, I have the presence of mind, let's say, to catch it in a bowl. So one, this error was not watching while I was breaking the egg. The second thing came up and I caught it. So was I wrong here and right here? Does the right here nullify the wrong here?
That's the whole question. Here's the other side of it. We love being right. Let's see, in a conversation, somebody else was wrong. We love being right. We want to do right. I mean, we're like right junkies.
I want to do right.
Do right.
I don't want to do wrong.
Do right.
I want to keep it simple.
Do right.
I want to keep it strong.
Do right.
I need to help my brother. Help the family rise up. I want to
do right.
I don't want to do wrong. I miss the kind of trouble that never lasted too long.
full of cherries. No, no, now that ain't news. But I'd give anything to get back to that dirty old room full of big easy blues. I think I'd rather have the wind and the rain than the president's claim and his big bass drum.
Who did right?
Sam Bush.
Wow. Sam
Wanting Bush. To do right. Don't want to be wrong. Think about the times when you've made a mistake or a faux pas, for example, where you've like not knowing your sister's name. I remember the first time I did an acting and I was on stage and I was about to say my line and I opened my mouth and nothing came out. It was like there was no line. It was just me standing there with my mouth open on stage. Or like my first one-man show that I did for some length, and 150 people were in the audience at the beginning of the show, and I think there were three, maybe five people there when I ended the show.
But did you do something wrong?
No.
You misjudged your audience.
Yes.
Let's call that a mistake, to not have included your audience before you did the thing that you learned from. You
right.
could learn from it. I think the mistakes that we make that are our teachers are valuable, and the mistakes that we make that further, that help us to understand things better, to become more efficient, to grow, are very different from the mistakes that, as I said before, can be dangerous mistakes. So mistakes are not just one kind of thing, and
no,
being wrong
kinds.
Is not just one kind of thing.
That's what Catherine Schultz gets into in the book, Being Wrong. She really unfolds so many dimensions, and she has a wonderful sense of humor. I highly recommend it. Being wrong. But here's a question I have. What is the message we get in school about making mistakes? What are the messages we get from our parents?
It's really not okay.
You think
to
that
make
would be
mistakes.
The dominant message that most people would say about that about their school experience?
Boy, I don't know, but I know it was certainly mine. You just didn't make mistakes. I mean, you had to do it right, and right was very carefully prescribed. This is what was right. Behavior, the right answers, the right everything. And anything you did that wasn't right was wrong. There wasn't anything in between.
So what has entered into the scene is this character called Control. Because you can see Control going in there and says, hey, I can use the right wrong thing because I can shame them for being wrong and that'll give me control over them. So you have these other motivations that influence the equation about right. So it's not just that. Then we add this other element of it's a way to keep kids, if not others, in control.
Yeah.
Through guilt about being wrong.
I certainly was in my family. It was very much a sense that if I didn't agree with my parents who were right, I was wrong. It wasn't I had another opinion. Oh, isn't that sweet? Look what she thought of. That wasn't in the equation. What was in the equation was simply, this is right, and if you don't do it that way or you don't think that way, you're wrong. After a while, my intelligence taught me not to disagree. Even though I didn't agree with them at all, I didn't express my disagreement because it hurt so much to be thought of as wrong.
I think about the feeling of you feel totally dismissed.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was just wrong and yours was not it.
Think of fashion, you know. It's such an interesting way to view right and wrong appearance. There's this fashion code. This is the way you're supposed to look if you're right. And if you don't look that way, you're wrong. And you're less. Kids very early make fun of kids who don't look the way they're supposed to look. And that's pretty scary. From a very early age, you're not wearing the right clothes. You're made fun of.
there's this thing about our in our society, really about the need to be perfect, whatever that is. And so people go by that standard.
When I'm nervous, I have this thing, yeah, I talk too much. Sometimes I just can't shut the hell up. It's like I need to tell someone, anyone to listen, and that's where I seem to fuck up. Yeah, I forget about the consequences. For a minute there, I lose my senses. And in the heat of the moment, my mouth starts flowing, the words start flowing. But I never meant to hurt you. I know it's time that I learn to treat the people I love like I wanna be loved.
That was an artist named Jessie J, and I saw a video of her doing this, and I believe that the song and the way she delivers the song, I felt the anguish of the character who nobody's perfect, and she let him down, and I could feel that anguish in having let someone down. So if you think about you invested like in love, and then you do something that really causes the relationship to go awry, and you feel responsible, and you have this pain that you're experiencing, the heartache of having bad things happen to the relationship. So not only do you have control that wants to glob onto this right-wrong dilemma, but you've got guilt, and it loves to sink its mitts into the right and wrong thing and add its perspective.
But it's also very interesting that in society, in a social setting, we have appropriate behavior. We may not get drilled on that, but it's very apparent as we grow up. Like, you don't laugh out loud at a funeral. It's inappropriate behavior. And I think it's very funny because we're living in at a nature's resort, that being naked is appropriate. But if you walked outside and went 8 minutes away to the town of Los Gatos, you could not be naked. That would be inappropriate. So there's appropriate in a particular condition and inappropriate somewhere else.
So it would be a mistake for me to go downtown naked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's consequences. You could be arrested.
Right.
Because of
right.
inappropriate behavior.
And but it's arbitrary.
Sometimes it's arbitrary, and sometimes it creates a strong society when everyone has agreement about appropriate behavior.
I understand that, but going back a step to for something like that, it's kind of arbitrary. It's like certain moral right and wrongs. So one thing is moral in a certain culture in a certain time, and in another culture a few hundred years or whatever, the opposite is true. For example, premarital sex in certain cultures was a must because you had to make sure the woman was fertile, without question. And so here you have a morality that developed, you know, in our lifetime, and Puritanism, all that, premarital sex is no, no, no. I think it's important to be able to step back and just know that whatever right, wrongness you may hold about anything, there's a good chance that at some point or in some other perspective, it really isn't right.
I don't agree with you.
Wow. Okay. What do you got?
Because there are things that can cause tremendous damage. You can't just say, like, it's all perspective. It isn't.
I didn't suggest it's all perspective. No, I understand that there are certain practical things. If you put the house on fire, it'll burn down and blah, blah, blah. I understand that kind of direct correlation. But what I'm referring to is something else.
Okay.
And then it was something else again, and they get mixed up in my head.
Which again was it something else about?
What I was saying, arbitrariness in the sense that we establish a right and wrong.
A morality.
Morality, right. That's right. What I'm talking about. I'm in the realm of morality.
Oh, you're in the realm of morality.
We've just moved into the realm of morality and right and wrong within the framework of morality. Of course, people say that if you do this, you're fundamentally wrong. Not that you've made a mistake and not that the reactor is going to implode, but you, by your very personality, by your nature, by who you are, by your existence, is wrong because you were born into sin and that force makes you wrong and you have to be redeemed. And so there's another way we can get control of you through the redemption equation.
Would you say that moral right and wrong came about as a result of trying to control large aggregates of human beings?
Definitely, because you had these conquerors and they conquered all these people. And then they had all these people to deal with. You know, they took over their lands and their villages and cities. Mm-hmm. And so they had to develop authoritarian structure, which is different than running in on your horse and killing a bunch of people. It's a different skill set.
Probably why a lot of people just killed them.
Right.
But then they wouldn't have to deal with them.
Yeah, I could see this commander. Should we kill them? Oh, God, we're going to have to feed them and organize them and deal with them. Nah, do we need them? Not really. Mm-mm, no.
Oh, my God. So what you're saying is the conquerors created laws for the conquered.
The conquerees.
So the conquerees, so that it would move smoothly. Society would function in a smooth way with authoritarian overseers.
Just a reminder, there is no final outcome to this conversation. I mean, because you can look at it from so many different perspectives, and every perspective is right, and from another perspective, it's wrong. And it can be said about anything. So then the question obtains, mm-hmm. How do you steer your way through life? Is there some kind of fundamental way to get your bearings in the universe?
I remember coming up with, I guess you'd call it a model, when our children were small, that they received a no. If it was going to hurt them, hurt someone, or hurt something. But everything else was up for grabs because it was a matter of taste, a matter of what they were ready for, what they weren't ready for. And it was very simple. And I almost think that that works in terms of right and wrong as well. That if it's going to hurt someone or hurt something or hurt oneself, then we won't say wrong, but it's certainly not something to be undertaken.
It's almost like the word wrong itself is wrong, really. There you have it, because it's the wrong word.
What word would you use?
But it's the right word when I say that about itself. See how that works? In other words, it's wrong to use the word wrong. It really is wrong. It's not incorrect. Or is it? The other way, a mistake, it's incorrect, it's not useful. One of the descriptions of morality that I've learned from Yeshua, Jesus, in the books that I'm reading is one criteria for morality is workability. Another is beauty. And so you put that into the equation and say, if we want this ship to stay afloat, well, by golly, there's a lot of mistakes we can't afford to make.
And that's
so
right.
We have to mitigate those at all possible cost, which is why we have education and practice and rehearsal and all of that. And so that's a wonderful contributor to the human development through evolution of humanity, is having to learn all this. I mean, think about all the stuff that humans have learned.
So you use the word wrong, and we're saying let's not use the word wrong, but something works or it doesn't work. When Edison was trying to get this filament to work inside a piece of glass and turn it into a light bulb.
His first computer, I think it was.
Just a second. Let's get back to light bulbs.
Oh.
So each of those things, when it didn't work, he tried it a different way. And he kept trying it a different way until it worked. Well, all those, 126 times?
No, I think it was like a lot, hundreds.
A lot. Let's say 100.
Hundreds.
Just because it's a round number.
Is that a right number if it's a round?
Wait, I didn't say wrong. I said round, not right.
Oh,
round.
Okay.
If it was a round number, none of those things were wrong, but they just didn't work in terms of what he was looking for, which was a filament that would light up this glass thing and create light, right?
Right. Right you are.
So I think there's a lot of play in the word wrong, and there's a lot of play in the word right, that it's not black and white. It's not this or that. It's a lot of going on. I think working, making something work the way you want it to work, is right. But if you make it work in a different way, it may be right for somebody else, but it won't be right for you.
Boy, I'm so confused.
Like, if you put salt in whipped cream, now, it's not the whipped cream you want, but it might be fascinating. I don't know. I've never tasted it, like a salty cream.
Or did you ever have the experience when you expected a step to be there or not be there as you're going down the steps?
I remember. I fell flat on my chest.
What that made me realize is how conscious I am of the steps, because the one time when I wasn't thinking about it, I was surprised at the result. My foot either came down too soon or too late.
And it was painful.
I wanted to share a thought I had about right and wrong several years ago. It goes something like this. It's a little mental twister that kind of comes to my twisted mind. Any one of us can be wrong at any moment of time, but we're all right all the time.
Gotta ride, don't be wrong. My mistakes will make me strong. I'm stepping out into the great unknown. I'm feeling wings, though I've never flown. Got a mind on my own. Flesh and blood to the bone, I'm not made of stone. Got a right to be wrong. So just leave me alone.
That
wasn't that great.
Yeah,
that was Josh Jose, I'm not sure how you pronounce her name, Joss Stone, who, baby, you sang that song. You do have a right to be wrong.
I worked in a fabricating business where they made furniture and stuff that display things. It was wood, and they used saws, those really scary saws. And every now and then an accident would happen. Somebody cut himself real bad, and the guy who ran the place said, mistakes happen when we don't pay attention. And he said, so the most important thing, especially when you're working with dangerous material, is to pay attention. And I think of life as pretty dangerous. You could fall down the stairs, walk in front of a car. That a big deterrent to the mistakes that could hurt you is paying attention.
Well, that fits into our little family motto. We really haven't talked about this very much on this program. We should probably do a whole episode on it. So this is like a preview, a trailer. Our family motto is show up, pay attention, stay in touch.
Easy to talk about.
Attention. Let's repeat it so make sure everybody got it. It's seven words, three little commandments. Show up, pay attention, stay in touch. We're not going to get into that in any depth tonight, except for the part about paying attention that you're talking about with regard to mistakes.
Paying attention. It's a very big deterrent to making mistakes, the kind of mistakes that can hurt you. When you pay attention, you see things before you fall down the steps. You see the step is not there if you're walking on steps. Like, I have to pay attention. I have brittle bones. I'm old. I'm not that old, but I'm old enough where my bones are more brittle than when you're young and you just can fall down and bounce up like a little ball. But when you get older, you want to pay attention because the consequences of falling become greater. The things that can happen to you from a fall are greater than what can happen to you when you're young. So you really start paying attention. And they say, well, old people walk slowly, but we don't really walk slowly. It's just that we pay more attention when we're walking. So we do slow down because it's hard to pay attention when you're running fast.
I wanted to just jump in and just change the energy just a little bit here, because so much of what we're talking about is about belief and assumptions and who we are and how we think about ourselves. I mean, yes, there's the practical level where it really hurts and can cause great pain, but then there's just this universal thing that we've been given, which is this opportunity to play in this field of whatever it is that holds the even possibility that there's error and not error and right and wrong and this and that and the other and the other. It's the gift of duality. It's the gift of being able to live in a pendulum that's forever swinging back and forth, but it never stops, and we are on that pendulum. But we can get off at any point we want and just kind of muck about in the variety of experience and reality that the finite provides for us. And within that, we bumble along, and we go, ow, that hurt. Ooh, that was a mistake. Okay, I won't hit my head against the rock on purpose next time. All the way up to, I think I could be a better parent as a result of how I'm behaving. So part of it is also developing the witness and recognizing the context in which all of this is occurring, because it is, the context is evolution, the context is movement, the context is individuals evolving, becoming more expanded, unfolding, bringing out more of themselves so they can interact with more and more of the other objective reality, and at the same thing is happening to the culture as a whole. And it's this blossoming, this multi-flavored, multicolored burst of possibility that's conscious of itself, and it's being spewed out into space like the semen of the gods. Each of these little bubbles, each of these little factorettes, shall we call them, takes on this awareness, and so it's the awareness itself that is seeking to share itself more and more with itself, so that awareness expands exponentially in every possible direction, and we can expand with it as long and as gracefully as we'd like.
Amen, brother.
And so I just wanted to share this last little piece, and it's very simple. Believe it or not, no matter which way we're headed, as long as we keep going, love will be there to greet us whenever we arrive.
I almost like to think love will be there as we're going.
Of course.
So if
that's another poem. Thank you. I think that'll be the next stanza. But anyway, so we've been talking about this wonderful issue of mistakes. Every time we come to the end of our program, which we're about to do, I always have this feeling, well, we didn't even get started. We're just barely open a little streak.
And I would like to invite you, the listening audience, If you have a topic or something that, you know, you think about a lot, and you wonder what other people might think of that, and see if we can have a dialogue, write to us at estrider@gmail.com.
And go to our website, www.thelaughingheart.org. The Laughing Heart, not just
Well, that's
any.
The way you'll find out about us, but I'm really interested in finding out about you. So come up with a topic that
I
we can,
it.
A spiritual spin to it.
That's right.
Because that's what we're about. We're about finding the spiritual kernels in everyday reality. And to me, a spiritual kernel is something that takes something to another level, expands it, gives more depth to it, looks at it from a sixth sense, not just the five senses we have.
And the other way that I see it is the spiritual is the whole. It's impossible to know the whole in our singular little mind, but it's tuning into the whole of it, not the hell of it. Notice the difference? Whole of it. Rochelle's rolling her eyes. I wish we could do a radio version of rolling Rochelle's eyes, but you can imagine it. And if you know us, you've seen them roll. And she has listened to my beflustering. Let me befluster some more. So here we are. We're about to
And there's
end our
no
time.
Mistakes being made. It's just insanity being displayed.
Right. And I think we're all on really on this road to find out. We really don't know.
So off and on you go. The seconds tick, the time. wasn't even trying. And here I have to say, 'cause there is no use in lying, lying. Yes, the answer lies within, so why not take a look?
Speaking of On the Road to Find Out, we need to hit the road and leave you for the night. We've loved sharing with you, and we'll be with you on Tuesday night again. Remember, though, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Good night.
Good night.